Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center Light, located here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always want to remind you that we have a Zoom fellowship service every Sunday morning at 10:30, where you can actually watch this recording and this presentation and the meditation and hear music and also have a discussion about the lesson. Like today's lesson, does prayer fit into your schema? So after you hear that, you might say, well, I'd like to discuss that. So, you know, you can do that by joining us in our Zoom fellowship on Sunday morning, 10:30. You can get the link from your e-newsletter or your weekly update. If you're not receiving those, you can go to our website, which is unitycenteroflight.org. And that's where you can sign up so you can get those reports on a weekly basis. And also, we are very thankful for the donations you send to support Unity Center of Light. And again, if you say to yourself you're inspired by this message, by what we do here, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can just click on the Show More button just below, and you'll see all the ways you can donate to Unity. And we are grateful for all of your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, September the 10th. The key word is care, and the affirmation is I am here and I care. Sometimes my heart goes out to a friend or even a stranger who is struggling. Other times my heart breaks when I learn of another's devastating news. In those moments, I feel the urge to help. I pray affirming healing, peace, or comfort. I may offer financial support or material goods. I might call on the phone or visit in person. Even so, I may feel my efforts are not enough, especially when needs are great. But the impulse to care is in many people, the activity of God streaming through so many hearts and hands. As I join my efforts with theirs, I trust we can lift up even the most dire situation. I am a caring presence, ready to help, serve, and love. The scripture reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and it reads, so deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So I know some of you are wondering about this title. Does prayer fit into your schema? All right. And, you know, this idea of prayer, I think at this point, these lessons are reminders of what we already know. You know, so the purpose of these lessons is to bring to the forefront of our minds what we already know about the spiritual journey so that we can compare what we know to how we are applying it in our lives. So, you know, it's, you know, we're going over, a lot of times we're going over some of the same things, hopefully expanding on them. But as it's written in 2 Peter 1-12, says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. And I believe that about all of us. And I think it is right for us to refresh our memories, he says, as long as we live in the tent of these bodies. Okay? So I believe we all understand the basic principles of prayer. I believe we have our own prayer practice that we adhere to and believe in. But due to the vast nature of prayer, and understand what I'm saying, the vast nature of prayer, that needs to be constantly explored to unlock the enormous potential of this spiritual practice in our lives. In other words, even though we know what we know and we practice what we know, there is so much more to know, so to speak. Now, Ernest Holmes, in his book, Science of Mind, he explains that back of the conflict of ideas and back of the noise of external life and action, back in the innermost recesses of uplifted thought and silent contemplation, there's a voice ever proclaiming you as a beloved son, a beloved daughter. Seldom does this voice, listen to this, seldom does this voice penetrate the outer world of our human spirit experience. Seldom do any one of us allow it to perfectly express through us. That's what we're going to be looking at, okay? But through prayer, we must learn to listen to this voice, call it conscious, intuition, or whatever. It is there. No one ever need go unguided through life, for we are all divine at the center of our being, and we're all made in the image and likeness of the Most High, okay? So the purpose of this lesson is to explore what may be inhibiting us from really connecting with the voice within, as did Jesus and other great mystics of history. What is keeping us from understanding and fully utilizing the divine gift of spiritual guidance that we have been given? And that is a question we want to explore in this lesson. So what I'm proposing for us to look at is whether or not, here's the question, prayer fits neatly within our intellectual schema, right? Now, I may not be using the word schema in the correct context, but it does fit what we're exploring in this lesson. The word schema refers to the pattern of thought or frame of reference we impose, and listen to this, on the constant flow of information we receive and the experiences we encounter, okay? So our schema assists us in trying to interpret and understand how to maneuver through the experiences in our lives. For example, as I'm, you know, talking to you right now, you may be trying to fit what I'm saying into your intellectual, psychological, emotional schema, meaning the intellectual, emotional, psychological, emotional pattern of thought or frame of reference you use to assist you in interpreting and understanding what you're hearing, seeing, feeling, and experiencing. Okay? And how I know you might be doing this right now is because I had to do it in order to understand when I'm reading Joel Goldsmith, Ernest Holmes, Course in Miracles, Bible scripture, and all the other resources, I had to figure out what were they trying to tell me as I worked to create this lesson, okay? I had to be able to allow them to reshape my schema, my frame of reference, before I could grasp them well enough to even formulate a lesson. And as I've shared many times, this process of creating a lesson every week changes me. It reshapes my schema. So as William Barry and William Connolly explained in the book, The Practice of Spiritual Direction, this is what they said. It said, human beings never experience things in the raw, as they are, okay? That is, without some organization of that experience by the experiencing person. The structuring or organizing of experience, which we all do, is based on our past experience and on what we have learned from that past experience. Thus, our perceptions are influenced both by what we have already learned and by what we expect to see, hear, feel, you know, and that's what we go through. So our perceptions, therefore, can be systematically distorted by our expectations, okay? Simply put, we do not see, hear, or experience things as they really are. We've heard this before. We always see, hear, and experience things as we are. So the question you may be consciously or unconsciously asking yourself as you walk this spiritual path is, how do I fit these truth principles that I am learning into a consciousness that may not have a frame of reference for containing them? So, as example, and I use this example a lot, but I think it really hits the nail on the head of our everyday lives. And we talked about it, we even used it last week. It's recorded in Matthew 6:25 that Jesus said to us, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is life not more than food and the body not more than clothing?" Okay. So this verse, the reason why I use it so many times, is a perfect example of a truth teaching for which we may have no schema, no frame of reference. How do I not worry about my life? And when we do not have a frame of reference in which to insert a new or differing concept or experience, we sometimes have a tendency to just reject it or resist it. Or at best, we may just idolize it, you know, dreaming, thinking to yourself, wouldn't that be nice if I didn't have to worry about my life? And again, the author of that book I just talked about, says something that does not fit our expectations can be considered inexplicable, at least at first, and our immediate reaction can be to try to fit the novel idea into some category we are familiar with. Okay? So, the spiritual truth shared, by Jesus, the spiritual truth shared by Jesus, do not worry about your life, can possibly be reinterpreted by us to mean, we got to fit it into our schema, so not worry about it could be to build up a huge 401k, so that you do not have to worry about your life, or whatever form of financial security we have come to depend on. Not saying that those things are not the things we should be doing, but I'm saying that's maybe the way we're interpreting what Jesus is saying. And why do we reinterpret Jesus' sayings? Well, again, it's probably because we may not have a mental schema that it will fit into. No frame of reference for what he is really saying. It's like when he was disciples, they went off to get food for Jesus. And if you've been watching this movie, The Chosen. You kind of get a sense of what that was like. So Jesus is kind of in the wilderness by himself. The disciples go off to get some food. And they come back and they say to Jesus, "Master, we have food." And he says to them, "I have food to eat you know not of." And their response was, it says right in Scripture, "Who gave him something to eat?" Okay. So this demonstrated that to them, his statement was inexplicable. Okay. Meaning, they were not able to explain or understand how Jesus was able to get food without them bringing it to them. Okay? And Irving Goffman, in his book, Frame Analysis, an essay on the organization of experience, he says, we can tolerate the unexplained, but not the inexplicable. Okay, everything okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. You like that one?
Yes, I like that one.
So in other words, it's one thing when we do not understand something because it has not yet been explained to us. But once it's been explained, if we still cannot find a frame of reference within our psyche in which to fit the explanation, then it becomes inexplicable. Okay? And in one of my readings, it said that the way traditional churches keep the unexplained from becoming inexplicable if they simply say, "Don't ask." All right. And I remember when I was trying to get into one of the universities in the area to advance my Bible study, I read in a lot of them the documentation that said, if you're accepted here, you cannot challenge what we're teaching. That caused me not to even want to apply. So this is what makes New Thought different, is that it encourages us as truth seekers to ask, to explore, to contemplate, to experiment, so that we can discover our own spiritual connection with the divine within us. Okay? But to have this divine experience, which may be referred to as enlightenment, We must be willing to step outside of our existing schema, our existing frame of reference. Why? Because our intellectual, psychological, emotional schema impacts our prayer life as well. Meaning, think about it, we pray from the same frame of reference by which we order our lives. If we have a tendency to only accept in our life experiences what fits neatly into our existing frame of reference, we will typically pray from that same schema, only accepting as possible that which will fit neatly into our frame of reference. And it's possible that the greatest barrier to our spiritual progress is that we are not conscious of the mechanisms we use to organize our lives. The control mechanisms that come out of our intellectual, psychological, sociological, emotional schema, okay? See, our thinking may be grounded in, this is just the way things are, or this is just the way I am, or this is just the way my life is, okay? And it is possible that at some level within us, there are things about ourselves we just do not want to change, no matter how much spiritual knowledge we gain. But more specific to what we're striving to understand in this lesson, it is not so much about change for us as it is about awakening. You know, I think we're struggling to try to change ourselves, but it really is about awakening. It's about coming to higher levels of understanding. Because if you come to a higher level of understanding, the lower level goes away, right? So it's not about change, it's about awakening at higher levels of consciousness. And actually, it's about remembering who we really are, or as I say so many times, whose we really are. So to describe what most likely happens to us that caused us to forget, to help us to understand what might have happened to us that caused us to forget, I'm going to use an analogy that I've used at least twice before, a long time ago. You know, and I don't remember, you know, if I made this up or if it came from a book I read or something, okay? But this analogy, I think, will help us to understand what happened to us that caused us to lose consciousness of the truth of our being. So the analogy has to do with the method of dyeing cloth used in India. In India, they'll take a piece of pure white fabric from its source, you know, a large bolt of fabric, and they'll dip it into a dye, say red, and they'll leave it in there until it's fully saturated with the red color. Then they will roll it out into the sun and leave it until it is completely bleached back to its original state. They will then roll it up, dip it back into the dye, and leave it to be saturated by the color red, and then roll it back up, and then put it back out in the sun to be bleached again. However, each time the fabric is rolled out for bleaching, it retains a greater depth of the red dye. Eventually, after the continuous dipping and bleaching, the fabric reaches a point where it will no longer return to its original color. It has been so successfully transformed that it can no longer be identified with the original white fabric that from which it came. So the fabric that was originally white is still the same fabric that now appears to be red. It has the same qualities, the same properties, but because its appearance is different, it is thought of differently. It is referred to differently. And when all the white while it is still the same fabric as the source from which it came, but we still see it as different. And subsequently, if one takes some more fabric from the same source, this bolt of fabric, and puts it through the same process, but this time dyes it green, and then takes another piece from the original source of pure white fabric and dyes it blue, and so on, we would say that each of the fabrics is different from each other and different from its source. Even though we would still know that the source from which it came, we would no longer see it as the same original pure white cotton. Okay. Now, I believe the greatest challenge we have is recognizing that the same process has happened to each one of us. Even though we all came from the pure divine light of God, we have been dipped in the dye of the intellectual, psychological, sociological, emotional, human conditioning, the dye of material, physical reality. And we've been in this dye so long that we can no longer recognize or remember that our true essence is the divine light of God. We now firmly believe that we are in truth this personality, with all of its identities and quirks and peculiarities and perceptions, right? We also believe that we are different from each other because each of us has been dipped in a different dye, meaning a different set of experiences, circumstances, and conditions, causing each of us to have a different intellectual, psychological, sociological, emotional schema. However, this process of coloring the pure being of light that we are with human perceptions, we have to admit it was hard to avoid, if not impossible to avoid. You get what I'm saying? I mean, we came up in the human condition and we completely were absorbed in it. So without enlightenment that comes from the experience and knowledge of living in the light, we remain in the darkness of spiritual ignorance and thus unable to understand the seemingly inexplicable truth that would lead us to remember that our true nature is divine. Okay? So it is our being saturated in the dye of life experiences that has caused us to forget the true nature of ourselves and thus the true nature of prayer. That's why I'm saying, can prayer really fit into our existing schema, the true nature of prayer, the depth of prayer? Okay. And in a way, if you think about our immersion in life as being saturated, having saturated us to believing that we're only human, then prayer can be looked at as a process of desaturation, slowly removing us to, returning us to our original state of remembering who we really are. So we pray to desaturate ourselves from believing we are only human and thus helplessly susceptible to the human condition. That is the purpose of prayer. When we begin to understand the true goal of prayer, our continuous commitment to this divine practice will eventually reshape our mind to be able to grasp the inexplicable. What was incomprehensible will suddenly become known as a divine inner knowing. Okay? And it is probable that right now, to the person whose mind is steeped in materiality, prayer and faith may be perceived as a hit or miss proposition. You get what I'm saying? But if we could change our mental schema, our frame of reference, from the world is in charge of my life and affairs to the truth, which is God is in charge of my life and affairs, then the inexplicable would shift to an inner knowing that our perceptions of what is occurring in the outer world in real truth have no power over what we know that we are capable of creating from the divinity within ourselves. So how do we get back to this state of inner knowing? It's by understanding the true nature of prayer. Prayer is about mind shaping, not God shaping. Prayer is about shaping our minds to receive the gift of God. It is not about trying to shape God to fit our existing frame of reference. Okay? Prayer is about turning our wants and needs into one focused desire. Let me say this again. Prayer is about turning our wants and needs into one focused desire, and that is the desire to know God and to know our oneness with God. If you think about it, everything we might want or need, from healing to whatever, okay, if we could turn that desire into just knowing God and knowing our oneness with God, out of that would come the guidance for whatever it is we're seeking. Okay. And as we read in last week's lesson, it is explained in the Course of Miracles that many stand guard over their ideas, over their mental schema, because they want to protect their thought system as they are, believing that if they allow change to enter into their thought system, they will not find peace. Okay? It's like, by changing, I'm kind of okay with where I am because I'm familiar with it. All right? I don't want to change that. But we're learning that it is by resisting the change in our schema that is brought on by prayer that is keeping us from finding peace. Because as we pray, there is a change, a coming, change happening, all right? a desaturation happening. And if we're resisting that, that what keeps us from finding peace. And we're not referring to the peace you feel when everything is going well according to existing frame of reference. Rather, we're referring to the peace Paul spoke about in his letters to the Philippians when he said in 4:7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And Paul said, this peace is the peace that will guard your hearts and minds and keep you centered in Christ. So I'm going to end with this prayer that we can use to help us desaturate ourselves and bring us back into the light of divine love and spiritual understanding. It says, Father, light of the world, let the light that you are drive the darkness out of me. Shine it in every crevice of my heart and every closet in my mind. Remove darkness from my mind and heart. Shine your light around me. Enable me to walk in your light. Expose everything that would hold me back from you. Remove every false image I have created of you in my mind. Fill my mind, soul, and spirit with your illuminating presence. I pray this in the name of our elder brother and worshiper, Jesus Christ. And so it is. Amen. All right. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So, Unity Family, let's begin our time in meditation by preparing our minds and bodies to be fully present to the one God. Relax and let go of whatever might be troubling your mind or your body. Become comfortable where you are and focus on your breathing. Take in deep inhale and exhale. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze. This is Unity Center of Light's month of prayer for others as well as ourselves. Another name for praying for others is intercessory prayer. This is prayer for others, an unselfish expression of love. It helps us to think beyond ourselves and to grow in compassion for others. Take in another deep breath and release it. How do you feel when someone asks you to pray with them? This can sometimes make you feel insecure, unsure, because you don't know what to say or you don't think you have the confidence to do it. However, when asked to pray by someone, it is our joy to hold the high watch in prayer. Sometimes just sitting with another in the silence helps them to know that you care because you are present to them. So let's practice right now in the silence. Bring someone to mind, someone that you know or our world in general, that prayer can help. It might be for healing, strength, guidance, protection, comfort, or anything else. We can serve them by becoming still to allow Spirit to speak through us. I ask you to please take the following words as your very own. Gracious Spirit, I pray for healing for those who are sick or suffering from any ailment. I pray for strength for those who struggle to survive, for comfort when friends and loved ones have made their transition, for prosperity to put food on the table for families without the means. Father, you know all our needs, so we place all this in your able hands, as you have all the answers. It is now time to take all our concerns and those of all people into the secret place of the Most High. In this place, the bright light of God illuminates our hearts and minds so we can know the truth to set all free. And now, as we return from these moments of meditation, we say thank you that our prayers have been answered in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to join us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. This is a time when we acknowledge answers to our prayers for the abundance that has come into our lives. And abundance takes on many forms according to what's really important to us. So just taking a picture in your mind of all the blessings you've received in your life. Let's say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And still, you know, the idea here of Unity Center of Light, our spiritual home, spiritual community from which we get our spiritual food. So we're going to do our offering blessing. We ask you to hold your offerings in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. Now you have light notes?
Light notes, yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, September the 10th. The Book Light Book Club will be discussing the book by Marianne Williams called The Age of Miracles, Embracing the New Midlife. They'll be doing that today at 1:30 p.m., and that'll be on Zoom. Keeping the High Watch is a 15-minute pause in your day for an opportunity to join others for prayer and in prayer to bless our community, our nation, and our world. We meet from 4 to 4:15 p.m. every weekday. A Course in Miracles study group resumes on Tuesday, September the 12th. We look forward to seeing you at 7 p.m. on Zoom. The month of September is Prayer Month here at Unity Center of Light. We will focus on prayer and meditation all month long and celebrate the power and presence of affirmative prayer. Each week, different aspects of prayer and meditation will be examined and discussed. You may still participate by joining us in person at the church office. Please check your e-newsletter to see the hours. And September 17th, Sunday, our special guest speaker is the Reverend Linda Martella Whitsett. She will be sharing with us Prayer on the Ledge. She will be doing this via Zoom. Questions you may have about prayer, like how do I trust in the midst of distressing circumstances, or how do I thrive when I'm weakened by disillusionment? These questions and more can be answered when you learn about the pivotal power of prayer. Don't miss this inspiring message and lesson. And please note that for all the classes and services, you may find the Zoom links in your weekly updates and your e-newsletters. Thank you.
Okay.
And now it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, now right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So, it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Please tune in to see Linda Martella Whitsett. She's considered, kind of a guru on prayer, so you don't want to miss her lesson. Other than that, have a wonderful week, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.